power of God, he's going to carry on to the next chapter, actually. He says, that power is like the working of his mighty strength, which is extended in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. Okay, that's as high as you can get. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything. May God bless his holy, infallible word this morning in Jesus' mighty name. I pray that we would hear the prayer of Paul, prayed for the Ephesian church, which was prayed for the church, us, this morning. Someone brought it up in the prayer meeting. I was talking with Brad this week. You want to just go to the next slide, but what I've had on my heart this whole week, it started with praying together with some pastor friends, and a simple word in his prayer was, God, just help us to orientate our families, orientate our children, orientate our lives to Jesus. Yeah. And that stuck in my heart. You know, it's like, you know, to orientate something is to deliberately align it according to what matters most. Paul writes Ephesians to turn the map so Jesus becomes the true north of how we think, live, parent, love, decide, and hope. If you've ever been in a car, back in the day, we used to have paper for those who are younger. We didn't have Google Maps, the nice, kind lady that says, recalculating when you get lost. Because most men don't follow maps. It's okay, I'll get there. And then, I don't know how it was in your family, we had big papers, big maps. And we had various conversations at different times, quite spirited at times. And you're trying to get the map. We got to orientate this thing. Where's north? Where are we on this thing? Just tell me where the next street is. And if your family is like our family, whoever's got the map has a lot of power and control. Oh, that was a street back there. You should have turned. It's like... But that thought just stuck with me this week about orientating our life. Jesus has got to be that true north. When you get things right, you get it lined up. This is a good map right here. And you get the true north and you get things lined up. Life starts to make sense. But you know that there's a devil in this world, right? And he's got people disorientated to where you just watch, you're just like, what? How? Like, when you see it clearly, when the map is lined up and the roads are straight, it just looks so simple. It just makes sense. Honor God. You know, honor the king. Pray for one. You know, I could go through the entire Bible. It just lines up. Children, obey your parents. Honor your mother and father. You know, leadership, church, in whatever area you want to look at, your family. And I just want to start there by saying, people, my friends, we need to orientate our families, our children, our lives to the Word of God, Christ as the head. You know, all the songs we were singing this morning was that. A great God. I appreciated your word. And those who know, when she was sharing at the piano, you know. When you can line up this map, it can make some sense. You cannot just tell people to hope for the sake of hope. Come on. We have hope in a great God. Hallelujah. And that's my prayer this morning. And I don't know what it means to you to align your children, but that was the prayer that our friend prayed just in a simple prayer as we were talking. It was just like the Spirit of God took him. It's like, we have got to orientate our children to the things of God. Yeah. Because if we don't, the world is screaming at them. There is just 1,000 trails to go down and get lost. Amen? This isn't my sermon, but it's my sermon. To orient to something is not just knowing where you are, but what you are facing. And as I said, many Christians today, I would say, are disorientated. They're not sure what's coming. I've preached it too many times, and I don't want to spend the morning on it, but you remember the four chapters of the Bible, not literal chapters, but you got creation, redemption, mission, and consummation. Or if you start to go this way, it feels better. Creation, redemption, mission, consummation. We as Christians, I would say, are the only ones who know where it is we're headed. God has this amazing plan, created everything. He redeemed us. The whole story of Christ, the salvation, the mission of the church, the sending of the Holy Spirit, and the coming back of Jesus. And I'm telling you, you get things lined up. You get yourself orientated. Where am I at in this plan? It makes sense. That's why I said Christians are the only ones who can really enjoy a holiday. It's a good thing to go away, to have a break, to recreate, to have recreation. But that's not it. And I've been in the most beautiful parts of the world on holidays, and I see a lot of miserable people. I mean, how many Mai Tais can you drink? We grew up, guys would go to Hawaii on all-inclusive. They'd get drunk on the plane. They'd be drunk the whole time in Hawaii and drunk on the plane back, and they'd never remembered even going. That was my father's friends. It's like we understand who we are. That's what Pete was talking about last week, and I don't want to preach his message again, but we know who we are. We have identity. We have purpose. We're part of this plan of God. So in Ephesians, this first couple of chapters, verses, in my opinion, that's what Paul is doing. He's just trying to realign their Ephesians thinking, line them up. And he's setting it up so that Jesus is that true north. God's plan is the true north. What are your lives? What are our lives orientated to? See, when we line them up to Christ, this is all introduction, just for free. It affects how we think. It changes your thinking. It changes the way you see the world, the way you handle money, the way you understand sex, the way you have purpose, identity, how we raise our kids. It all flows from a biblical perspective of life. And we as Christians, we need to have it. How's your map? Does it make sense? Is it getting clear? Are you in place? Do you know where you're at so that you know where you're going? That's what Paul is encouraging them to know. He's going to come to his prayer in a minute. But before I talk about how you live, let me remind you, like Pete said last week, who we are in Christ. I like this thought. It's just come to me. But orientation always comes before direction. If you can just take a minute before you take off, like, these days we use Google Maps, and quite often we'll take off before, I'll start driving before I've ever looked. So Lori's got the Google Map over there, and I'm like, okay, you're going to turn on 47th. How far is 47th? Give me some more. Is that 5 miles, or like, oh, we just missed it. Like, of course we talk gently and kindly to one another. My daughters aren't here. Is Nicole in here? Okay, I got to watch what I say. But when my daughters, both her and Melanie, when they first moved to Edmonton, they knew Pretoria, they knew Dar es Salaam. You could take them, they could drive around. Come to Edmonton. We're still in South Africa. They're trying to explain how to get to grandma's house, how to go somewhere. You know, you turn left on 147th, and the address is 147 97th Street. Quit saying that! What does that mean? That doesn't mean anything. I said, but you know, you got avenues, you got streets, you can. Nicole got onto the yellowhead. I said, you just get on the yellowhead, because she lived in North Edmonton. You get on the yellowhead, you go straight west. For an hour, you'll be at Grandma's farm. About 2 hours later, I just saw Vegreville. It's like so many times. Sorry, Nicole. Melanie. Oh, you don't even want to start with Melanie. It's not fair. She's not here. So it's like, what side of the river are you on? I don't know. I just crossed it again. Okay, going north. I don't know. Okay, pull over. Stop. Go to a corner. Look at the sign. Tell me the name, the number. What is on that corner? Let's get this thing orientated. Then we can say turn left, turn. You know what I mean? Orientate your kids to a worldview, godly worldview. What matters? What are we living for? What's our hope? Amen? That's where we get our hopes lined up. And it's not just fluffy stuff. We're talking about life. We can have that hope. We can have that eternal view. Okay, this was introduction. The second one is also introduction, just a light subject, predestination. Paul never started this book to confuse the Ephesians or to put fear into them or to terrify them or to, okay, who's preordained by God? Who are the elect? Like, am I in? Am I out? Like, that's not why he wrote that. He wrote to comfort, to encourage. And I want to say a couple of things about predestination. Michael Eaton uses it. Get over it. It's in the Bible. Just get over it. Just deal with it. And I know there's lots of views on it, and that's fine. And I'm not here to answer all the views. But what I like is this. When you're trying to understand God's purposes and plans, it's always way easier to look back. When you start looking forward, you get a little bit mischievous. Who's God's people? You look back and you say, wow, look how God led every step of my life. Look how he's leading, taking us to heaven, you know, author and the finisher. God is amazing. It's like the question around the elect. Who are the elect? I don't know. Preach to everybody, the Bible says. God knows who are his. It's not confusing. When we start looking back, forward, we get a bit confused sometimes. People start having fear, anxiety, and am I in? Am I out? Who's? No, man, just know God is in control. He's got this part of this cosmic, amazing plan we heard about last week, and he's working it out. There's two truths that the Bible holds at the same time. One is God is completely 100% sovereign. There is nothing that happens in this world outside of God. Nothing. And at the very same time, you and I are held accountable for every decision and action that we make. And we'll be judged for it. These two, only God can keep those two together. And there's things that we say, okay, we trust you. Predestination in Ephesians chapter 1 answers, do I belong? You see him up there. Am I secure? And does my life matter? So here's what how much I want to spend on it is this. Whether we emphasize God choosing individuals by grace, that's one emphasis, or we emphasize God choosing Christ and all who are in him, we get to the same place. Both proclaim the gospel. Yeah. Salvation flows from God's will through Christ by grace. Yeah. And it leads us to glory. Hallelujah. That's what Paul's encouraging them. He's telling them this love that's been lavished. Like, I don't want to spend my whole morning on last week. But that's what Paul's setting them up for as we go forward. You know, if you know Ephesians, he's going to get into parents and children and marriage and church leadership. But before you get there, even before he starts actually talking about the church, which he's going to mention in these verses, he's saying who we are in Christ. Yeah. And when that's right, hallelujah, our life makes sense, and we can start to understand this map. Okay, let's look at our text this morning. After praise in verse 3, Paul turns to prayer, verse 16. He thanks God for the two marks of real Christianity. I already mentioned them, faith and love. And then he's praying this. This literally what he's praying is that they would move on. They would mature into hope. That they would know the hope that's theirs. And that's where we're starting today. This is the beginning of this today's text. He says, I pray that they would mature into hope, to see the great, amazing plan that they are part of. Paul prays that God may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Like, he's not talking about revelation in the, you know, go write the Bible. He's talking about illuminating, revealing, bringing to light. You know, it's some of the moderner translations would say, you know, pull back the veil, that they could see, that we could understand who God is and what we're part of and what he's doing in our lives. So that's our prayer from the prayer meeting this morning, that our hearts would be soft, that God could pull back the veil and just remind us, show us for the first time. I don't know where you're at in your walk with God, but just the amazing, amazing plan that he has for our life and into eternity. He says, number one, the hope of his calling. I think I got a slide on that. What do I have? Yeah, I guess I just listed them all. You have to listen to my sermon this morning. I don't want to give you too many notes, you know, just so you... It's not wishful thinking, but confident expectation. Amen? The hope of his calling. This one we could preach it all week. We were saved. We are being saved. We will be saved. We will be glorified. You know, the tenses of salvation. God has done something past punctiliar. We were saved when we accepted Jesus Christ. We are being saved. He says to work out your salvation, not for salvation. Work it out with fear and trembling. That's the life that we're in right now. And one day we'll be glorified with him. That is the hope of our calling. You know, when you talk about the calling, this calling he's talking about is what God's doing to save us in our lives, what he's involved in, what he's working out in our lives. That hope of that calling, the work of God in us to save us, to take us to him, to be with him forever in glory. Hallelujah. And Paul's just been pushing this thing in this whole first chapter, and he's praying somehow their eyes, revelation, spirit of wisdom, their eyes of their heart would be enlightened, that we who are so dull and so often just disorientated and stuff's coming at us left and right and troubles and trials and issues and family and people and church stuff. And, you know, the beauty of church is the longer you're in a church, the more you get offended by everybody. It's just like being in a family. It's like you get to know a little too much. But, you know, when you're looking at them, they're looking at you, so it's okay. And God is working this stuff out in us and through us. God finishes what he starts, is what Paul's saying. Our lives are caught up in his cosmic plan to unite everything under Christ. And that changes how we face suffering, choices, future, all the things I've talked about. It all gets focused, life and death itself. Knowing who Christ is, knowing the hope of his calling, know what he's working in our lives. Secondly, another one is the riches of his glorious inheritance. This is Paul's prayer. The hope of the calling, the riches of his glorious inheritance. Our inheritance starts now. It's God's presence. It's God's joy in our lives right now. It's God's righteousness filling our lives. That's the riches of his glorious inheritance. We'll get to what's coming, but it starts now. It's what we've been saying. You'll get a vibe! Everybody's like, what is that? Okay. When I hear that, anyhow, my mind is broken, so don't listen to me. It's Can't get enough of those sugar crisps, sugar crisps. Like, what? Where does that come from? It's like, can't get enough of God, of His goodness. Like, when I was 15 and I got saved, you know my testimony, and I finally met the love of God and that there's a purpose and there's more to life than fighting in the Black Falls bar with, you know, Andy Schaefer's or whatever his name was. And it's like, there's a life to live. Then you're like, I can't get enough of this stuff. I'm going to tell the whole world. I'm going to make my friends in high school crazy talking about this stuff. And they thought we were crazy. And it's like, then okay, I'm going to pastor in Swan Hills in the oil town. And they thought we were crazy. Every Sunday, because, you know, it's an oil town, Friday night, all the young guys leave town and we'd have church on Sunday. And then they'd all come back on Sunday night. It took us a while to figure out how that town worked. But it's like, okay, then I'm going to Africa to tell some people. And then I'm coming to Edmonton to tell some. Somebody's going to hear this stuff. That there's a God who's great. And He's made this amazing plan to save us. And all we have to do is receive Him by faith and say, Jesus, I want You as Lord of my life. I want to walk. I want to know You. I want to understand. Open the eyes of my heart. I should write a song like that. I can hear it coming to me. Open the eyes of my heart. Somebody record that. That's going to go big. It's almost like Brad's. I had that exact song this week, and I'm saying, we should end with that song. Turn our eyes to Jesus. It's another song I just wrote, but we should sing that. Matthew 5, he puts it this way, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Karl Barth, the great German theologian, his translation of that, lucky bums, blessed are, greatly to be, highly to be favored, those blessed, those lucky bums, whose God is God. Hallelujah. His presence is for now. His Spirit wants to come and fill us and live in us and know us now. Have you grown dull in the riches already given to us? Have we just gone numb? Sometimes when I think of children, of course, my children, not this way so much. They were quite perfect. You know what I used to like to do with our kids? When they started to take for granted everything they had, just simple stuff like a bed, like a toilet, water, food, a fridge, you know, whatever. We'd take them to the township just north of Pretoria, Soshanguve. We planted a church there. No water. Can list a lot of things. Take them into the rural areas of Tanzania, whatever, wherever we were. You come back home and you're just, oh, thank You, Jesus. And I'm telling you, if you spend time with brokenness and with people that are hurting and wrestling with the neighbors and whatever, you come back to the family of God and you just say, oh, thank God. Thank God it's making sense. I can make sense out of suffering. I can make sense out of illness. I can make sense out of blessing. I can make sense out of people who are rejoicing, who are mourning, who are struggling, who are blessed. I can make sense out of that because God's with me. God's showing me His plan and His purpose for my life. And yeah, I'm not in heaven yet, but we are getting there and enjoying a little bit of heaven as we get there. You know, Lori and I, we mock each other a lot. That song was, I don't know if she put it on one of her things or whatever, but it's like, I can't remember the song anymore, but it's, I'm walking on water, whatever that song is. Somebody remind me okay, never mind. I say to Lord, so you feel like you're walking on water? just say that when they're not having a good day. That's when it really is effective. So how's the walking on the water? If you ask Marcy sometimes, live in the dream. Are you living the dream today, Marcy? Always, see? They usually just ask that just when they've gone through a really hard time. Ah, living the dream, eh? God has this glorious inheritance waiting for us. And if you get too familiar, like, you know, I've said it all the time. We as Christians, so many times, we think we're doing okay. I got to this place pretty good. Listen, it's the grace of God. If you're walking on upright and sort of in your right mind and your family's together and, you're paying some, it's God's grace. And we need Jesus every day, all the time. The third one is exceeding greatness of his power. Christian life is not just a decision, it's transformation. And Paul prayed that they would know the exceeding greatness of his power. It doesn't come from hype, it doesn't come instantly, it doesn't come just at the end of a church service. Thank God that we have times of prayer. Thank God we have those moments in worship when we just... But to know his great power comes from walking with him. To know him, to know his word. The grace of God is greater than we realize. Our future is far more glorious than we can even imagine. And that's what I keep, what I had on my heart this morning is, as parents, we need to instill that into our kids. We need to live it. We need to talk about it. We need to preach it. We need to share it. We need to help our families, our husbands, our wives, our whoever, to orientate our lives to this. There's a hope in God. There's a plan in God. We have purpose and identity in God. And then the last slide, you can put it up. He who said that you may know the resurrection power at work in us through the church. Ephesians 1, 20 to 23. But Paul ends by showing what his power looks like. He says, I pray you'd know it, but he wants them to see it. His power is seen in the resurrection. Amen? Christ over death and the grave. In his exaltation, Christ reigning as king of the universe. These are his words in his prayer. And the victory, Christ above every demonic power and force, that they would just know. And that's what we are singing this morning. If you remember the songs we are singing, it's like that is what Jesus has promised us. And Paul's praying that they would know that power. Not just some little Mickey Mouse sad. You know, there's days when we're sad. Listen, tears are real. And we mourn with those who mourn. We wrestle. Life is real. But we do it, like my friend used to say, we have sweet sorrow. There's a sweetness to our sorrow because we know we have hope in God. We're not like those who have no hope. No matter what we're going through, we are not like those. We have hope in God. We have a future in God. Even our sorrow, there's a sweetness to it. And I've shared that 1,000 times. I appreciate seniors who stay sweet. They go through it. Like, I'm very young, but there is hints. There's some hints. It's like, I want to be sweet. I don't want to be a sour old, my grandkids call me grumpy grandpa, but that's just a tease because they love me so much. But it's like, some people just have a way of joy in their life. And knowing who they are in God, and even when they're struggling, even when they're suffering, there's this sweetness that comes out of their life. And you can't fake it. You can't make the stuff up. It's God working in us, his power in us. That power is for us. The church is his body. We are the fullness of him who fills all in all. Jesus has chosen to work through his church. We are his earthly body, his hands and feet, to show the world, to live Christ out. He's the head. We are the body. I like this point that I put up there. That's why I put the powerful points up there. We will never understand Jesus' heart until we understand how deeply he loves his church. You want to ignore the church. You want to just write the church off. You want to just, you're going to miss that power that Christ showed through the resurrection to the church and through his church and what that looks like and how that's lived out today. And we do pray for miracles. We pray for outstanding God miracles that are undeniably miracles. And one of the biggest miracles is when people live in faith and love and hope together. It's the greatest miracle. There's no other reason that we would, this crowd here, what do I call you guys? Amazing, wonderful people of God, or a motley crew. I don't know which term, what term fits us the best, but there would be no reason for us hanging out together except for Jesus. Except for what he's doing in our life, except for the plan that he has for the church and to reach the city, to reach our families, to encourage one another, do missions together, reach the world. Yeah. Say, well, how are we going to do it? Hang on. That's the miracle power of God through his church, that church. And you can't write the church off. You can't say, I don't need the church. We are the church. There's that mystery, invisible church, but then there's the church when we come together and he's the head and he's seen and he's lived out and he's experienced together. That's the power that Paul's talking about. He's leading his people through history, through suffering, and toward the fulfillment of God's eternal plan. I'm going to ask the band to come, please. Paul is orientating his map. Jesus to the true north. How's your life? You know, I mentioned it earlier. People get disorientated. They get sideswiped. They get, stuff happens. Or maybe you're here this morning and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. I'm encouraging you this morning to make him the Lord of your life. Paul's prayer is that their understanding, their eyes, their hearts, they would know Christ. They would know the hope that is theirs. When our lives and our children's lives are orientated to him, we know who we are, we know where we're going, and we know why our lives matter. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, so we may live fully aligned with your plan, your power, and your glory. That's my prayer for each one this morning, that he would open our hearts, open our eyes. And if you're here this morning and, you know, you've been disorientated, stuff has hit hard, you're wondering about your life, you're wondering about your plan, the purpose, today's the day to align ourselves up with Jesus. Amen? He's Lord. He is a great God. And he is able. Amen. Welcome.
I'll get you guys to stand with me if you could. And there's been a few words that have come in that I just want to share. And if these speak to you, then the altar is going to be open, and we have a prayer team that is more than happy to come up and stand beside you and lift you up in prayer here this morning. And so I just want to go through them. There's prayer for people with hearing or ear issues. There's also prayer for voice, vocal cord, or speech issues. And then there's not one of us who is misplaced when we come in the presence of the Lord. And the verse is, in my Father's house, there's a place for me. He predestined us for the adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. So if you feel like you're misplaced, we want to pray with you. And there's freedom for all that God has for us, and it comes through both his death and ours. But death precedes resurrection, so we have to get that order right. So maybe there's something that you need to die to before you can take that next step. And then there's individuals here this morning that just need a fresh touch of God's love. And so if those speak to you and there's something stirring in your heart, just as we continue to worship, the altar is open for prayer, and oftentimes that's the first step of faith towards an amazing, incredible, adventurous journey ahead. Come forward if God is speaking to you, and we want to pray with you.
So as Leonard was preaching about the map, I remember when I, maybe my 20th birthday, that was a while ago, Russell's parents bought me a map book. So it's like a whole book where you've got the map of Pretoria and Johannesburg in South Africa. And it used to be my friend that would sit next to my seat, because now you just don't know where you're going to go. Page 36, quickly go there. And just as Leonard was sharing, I just felt in my heart that maybe you're on that page. Page 37, this is where you are today. And that road is going. And you're getting to the end of that road and you don't know where it's going to take you. And guess what? On that map book, it says, as that road ends, it points to page 76. Quickly turn there. Oh, there's the road again. I feel like there are people today that are coming to the end of one chapter. And there is a new chapter waiting. And you are quite terrified to turn that page. And you don't quite know where that page is going to take you. But I'm telling you, as we are orientating ourselves in that map book of Jesus, of Christ, He's taking us, we can trust Him. We can trust Him and we can turn that page and Jesus is going to be there. And if you need prayer today because you're scared that your chapter is coming to an end, come on, let us stand with you. Because the number of times people have stood next to me when I didn't know where I was going.